All right, it's 11:06 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. My name is Perry Small, and I know a lot of you have been waiting for this next topic because there was so much interest the last time we had attorney Tim Daw with us. He's with Schiller, DuCanto, and Fleck. Their offices are based in Wheaton, but they also have offices in Chicago and Lake Forest. And if you don't remember who Tim was, he is a senior partner. He's known for his strategic approach. Tim Daw draws over 30 years of experience in litigating and negotiating complex family law cases to help clients achieve their objectives. He works with clients to take charge of their situations by identifying issues, setting priorities, and mapping a course of action to arrive at their goals so they don't end up on Judge Judy. As a senior partner of the firm, Mr. Daw assists families and individuals, including executives, business owners, athletes, doctors, celebrities, and their spouses and significant others in resolving divorce and other family law matters. Hi, counselor. How are you today?
Perry, great to talk to you again.
It is always good to talk to you. Tell us what this law that's what is this law that's going in effect July 31st regarding child support?
Well, we're changing from what is a child support determination based on one parent's net income to a child support determination or a basic child support obligation based on two parents' net income. So the basic law under a fairness concept is taking the proposition that has been recognized for many, many years under Illinois law that the financial obligation to support a child is on both parents, not just on one.
Right.
And therefore, we should look at all the financial resources available both to the party who's going to be paying child support and the party who is going to be receiving child support.
All right. So this is going to be new. If you've already have a child custody, I mean a child payments calculated, this is not going to affect you. This is new cases, right?
Correct. Well, it applies to anything that's pending right now that has been unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has a child support obligation imposed prior to July 1st, so they have their child support, this law will not apply to them unless or until there is a substantial change in circumstances warranting modification. If there is such a circumstance and the court finds there's been a substantial change in circumstance, then the law may apply to them. But the change in the law is not a substantial change in circumstance. There has to be facts or other relevant items that occur in someone's life to get to that substantial change before our new law is going to apply.
Right. Now, you know, nobody trusts Illinois lawmakers, governors. They don't trust anybody, anything that has to do with state government. So why did Illinois make this change in how child support is calculated?
Well, Illinois was in the minority of many states. Of the many states, obviously, they all have child support laws, but they were clearly in the minority by using the one-person child support income calculation. Now we call it income shares because we're looking at both parents and sharing income. There are three states that probably had the most aggressive child support maintenance laws, and those were Illinois, believe it or not, New York, and California. And what this law does is brings Illinois more in line with the rest of the country and what they're doing as far as the income shares model.
Okay. So, all right. So, for example, there are divorcing parents for the moment. How is this going to impact the divorcing parents and their children?
Well, when you and I spoke in February, we had not seen the tables yet.
Right.
And these tables were maintained and created by economists, adopted by the state. And it was very unclear as to whether there would be a huge increase or a huge decrease in child support. It was my feeling back in February that we were probably looking at some level of decrease in child support. The tables came out probably about 8 weeks ago. I've run calculations, in incomes of modest amounts,
okay,
based on some of the calculations. And I'll qualify that as, let's say you have a two-parent household and their income is $60,000 net income for both of them, for the household. I don't really see a huge change.
Okay.
Now, a lot of it's going to be dependent upon who's earning what income. When you get to the higher income individuals, which is what we tend to specialize in, there is a significant change in the guidelines, where someone could be paying, if guidelines were to be applied, less than 50% of what they would be paying under the current guidelines by the enactment of the new guidelines.
So the wealthy, once again, the wealthier are getting the breaks that the, you know, the lower middle income are not going to enjoy, huh?
Well, my concern was the lower and middle income would be, their child support would also be going down, and that's not the case.
Oh,
in fact,
wow.
It's relatively, it's very similar to what they would be paying anyway. For the higher wage earners, while guideline child support has always been an issue, it is not infrequent that the courts would deviate anyway from guidelines, where the amount that would be produced by the guidelines is well in excess of what the reasonable needs of the child or children would be given the standard of living. And child support is not supposed to be a disguised form of support for the other parent. It's supposed to be for the support of the child. Now, there's obviously always, you know, overhead and things like that that have to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of our clients who have very healthy incomes,
mm-hmm,
guideline child support was never a real issue anyway.
Right, because they have the money anyway, so it's not
correct,
that big of a deal.
So sure.
What is the relationship between the child support payments and custody time? Does custody time agreements, do they change now too?
Well, there is a very controversial piece of this law.
Oh, God.
That says that if a parent, if both parents have at least 40% of the overnights, and they exercise that 40% time, then whoever is paying child support would technically be entitled to a deduction in their child support. This theory is that since both parties are undertaking substantial time with the child or the children, a lot of their overhead that they would have really relates to the child and the care for the child, and therefore shouldn't there be some sort of modification? The problem that we are foreseeing will start occurring, if it hasn't already started occurring,
all right,
is that people will start requesting and trying to get more child time, more parenting time, because they want a financial advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the unknowns yet is, I think the intent was clear in the statute, if somebody has this time, then they should get the deduction. But the actual language of the statute uses the word exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And that means to me, and I think it means in the statute, that if somebody is exercising that level of time,
right,
then only then would they be entitled to the deduction. But we don't know what the courts are going to do with this yet, because this is all brand new territory for everyone.
So, I mean, for you, Attorney Daw, being in limbo like this, I mean, what does this put you at a disadvantage as you're trying to litigate these different cases amongst your clients? I mean, how does that impact a lot of these family law lawyers?
Well, for the last 6 months, I would say most people who had knowledge of what was going on were very careful in looking at their cases, how this law might apply, in making a decision to try to get people divorced prior to the law and after the law.
Okay, so so it's not unethical if you were telling your clients, listen, you might want to wait until after July 1st for us to move forward on this.
No, I think that's actually our obligation.
Okay.
That we would have to tell them these are your options, not that we are endorsing one option or the other, but we have to tell our clients that this is coming. This may or may not impact what we decide to do, but this would be under this set of scenarios prior to July 1st, what you could be looking at, and under this set of scenarios after July 1st, this is what you're looking at. And the child support law that is currently in effect requires this basic child support amount, but there also are the add-ons, as I call.
Okay.
There's the daycare. There's the uninsured. There can be the uninsured medical. There can be the uninsured, or not the uninsured, the extracurricular activities.
Right.
So, you know, that cost sharing is still going to be going on. But the basic child support amounts, as I said, under the modest to mid-level incomes, I don't think are going to really make a huge difference. With the upper income individuals, it's going to make a considerable difference if guidelines were ever applied.
Do you know who sponsored this bill?
Oh, I could look it up for you.
When you get a chance, maybe during the break, because I want to know who sponsored this bill, because who sponsored it is going to tell me a lot about what's behind it. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Hi, Perry. Hi, attorney. You're exactly correct, Perry. That was the question that I wanted to know, who sponsored this bill. But at the same time, you know what? The fact of the matter is child rearing is a shared responsibility. And too many times, one or another, one of the parents tends to hide income. Usually, I've seen this over and over again over there on Harrington, you know, when I do the paralegal cases when I do them.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, what I see in terms of the basic child care, it's not really what you would consider to deal with the cost of raising a child. It's not, I mean, any mother would tell you that their
child support payments,
attorney, their child support payments a lot of times aren't even worth it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of mothers refuse to deal with it because the court cases are so, well, the court is so crazy in terms of how they determine it.
Well, let me just say this, Mike. I think that this might be a good thing for those individuals who don't spend enough time with their children, that this is going, you know, if they want the benefits of a break maternity dog, if they want them, they're going to have to start spending more time with their kids. So that's not such a bad thing. It's 11:19 on the Talk of Chicago. We're talking to attorney Timothy M. Daw. He's a senior partner at Schiller DuCanto and Fleck. It is 11:19, and we'll be right back. D. John, I'll take your calls when we come back. All right, it's 11:23 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I think a lot of these divorcing parents don't want to do it again. We've been talking to attorney Timothy Daw. And before we go on with some more phone calls, what can go wrong with this new child support system? What's the downside of it, counselor?
Well, the downside of it is the attorneys really don't know yet how the judges are going to be applying it, where deviation can come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the child support guidelines says this is the basic child support obligation that we are going to then divide on a proportion to the parent's net income, courts have the ability to deviate and say, maybe this isn't right in this situation, maybe this person should be responsible for more or less or whatever the case may be. So there's going to be a learning curve,
okay,
not only amongst the attorneys, but also amongst the judiciary.
No, I'm not worried about you, Attorney Daw. You seem to be one of the most competent family lawyers probably the area. Let's go to D. D, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Okay, Perry, give me a moment with this because I don't think I'm understanding
okay,
what you guys are saying.
Okay, so ask Attorney Daw. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying under the new law, when they take in both parents' income, that means just say if I'm the parent who has the child or custody of the child, they're looking at my income too, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so just give you a hypothetical scenario. So are you saying just say if I'm a rich one, just say if I'm rich and I might, and he makes way less than me or whatever the case. So you're saying based because the amount of money I have, he might not have to pay anything for his child at all?
No.
Or?
No, they're, except in very rare cases where somebody has absolutely no income or they're only on public assistance or some sort of disability, there is no such thing as no child support.
Okay,
there are no $0. There's very few exceptions in the statute. Let me give you a basic concept of how this would work. We have these tables that have been generated. And these tables say if parents have income, parents plural, their combined net income is $30,000. This is the basic child support obligation for one child. This is the basic child support obligation for two children, et cetera.
Let me ask you this. Is that fair to the parent that has the child? Because what if, are they taking into account the parent that have the child if they pay a rent or a mortgage? Or if the parent don't have a child, they could have a job, but they could stay with their parents. Are they taking into account the bills I'm paying as the parent with the child?
The amount that was determined the basic child support obligation is supposed to include, according to economic data, what percentage of someone's income goes to housing, what percentage of someone's income goes to food, and that's how these numbers were derived.
And then you also said there, Attorney Dahl said, depending on how much time the custodial, like if you have 80% of the, you know, a custody of the child, he's with you 80% of the time. If the father says he might pay less if he starts spending more time, if he has more custodial time.
But you know
time.
What? That's a catch-22 in a sad situation. That's sad that you got to do that to spend time with your child. That,
right.
To me, shouldn't even be in the equation because they didn't want to spend time with the child, so they're going to fake and act like, I want more time. And then how can you monitor that, I guess?
Yeah.
Right. I agree with you on this.
And how can you, the other thing is, how would you be able to monitor, I guess, if they didn't show up, I guess the child could say, no, he didn't come pick me up, but then you're getting into a whole nother level there. I don't know.
Sure. And I've talked to some judges about this, and one of the issues is going to be the actual language of the statute, just because on the day of the determination that somebody has X amount of parenting time, is that when they get the reduction because they have over 40% of the overnights, or is it after they've already exercised that time?
And
our statute uses the word exercise.
The word about attorney is that it's a lot of, and I'm not bashing dads because there's some good dads out here and there's some bad mothers out here. This, to me, and let me put it like this because I don't want this to be a gender thing. To me, this is going to further hurt the parent that has the child already because, like one of the callers had called in, sometimes the child support that they're getting is not anything anyway. The person that doesn't have the child, they're living freely. They're living with somebody, with a parent, with another girlfriend or wife.
Right, or boyfriend,
Right, and so now you want to take the parent's income into a fact that's already taking care of the child anyway, and it's like you're helping the person that doesn't take care of the child as opposed to the person that is.
Yeah, Dee, that was a good point. Let me take John's call. John, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Perry. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Good morning, attorney. I'm sorry. You all.
It's okay.
I was just listening to the lady's opinion. It's two sides to every story, you know. And what I mean by that is that, say, for instance, if you're with a lady, you're paying child support, and she gets married, and she has a good job, and her husband has a good job. And, I mean, it's not factored into, you know, the dad's income because it's only one person who's paying child support, which is the father. Now, with her, the young lady just mentioned rent and stuff like that, you would have to pay those things regardless if you had a kid or not.
Right.
Okay. My point is that they need to monitor the money more. They should monitor the money a little bit more of a custodial parent, which might be the mom or the dad, as far as like future college and stuff like that. Because you got some women who are doing good, you got guys who are doing good, that benefits the child, but they're not being held accountable. Some of them are using the money for their own personal trips and other stuff, cars and stuff like that. So once that happens, you know, if you have to split the cost of college, then by the time the child reaches 18, then there's no college money for the child because the mother or whoever the custodial parent is has used the money for their own means. You know,
I don't know, John. I think that might be a misnomer, and Attorney Dahl, you could tell me. I think that no matter what what is being paid to the custodial parent, they still have to provide a roof over that child's head. If they want to put them in extracurricular programs, they might want to get them in some kind of, you know, pay into a program that they can save for college. It's really never enough, unless you're talking about these big celebrities in Hollywood and these very well-off hedge fund people. I don't want to believe that they're not using this money to take care of these kids.
Yes, and the law will not presume that someone is misappropriating money. Judges do not require the parent receiving the child support to account for the money. That would be ridiculous.
Right.
We would never have any judges available because they would be going through spreadsheets as to what was spent on socks and what was not.
Right.
You know, there has to be some sort of faith or some trust,
right,
that the person receiving the money is going to be responsible for those his or her share of those expenses. What this law really does is, let's take a scenario where the actual person who has a majority of the time with the child has a very substantial income,
mm-hmm,
and the person who's being asked to pay child support does not. Under our current law, all we're looking at is taking a percentage of the person who does not have the money and applying that to the person who has the money, so that, you know, the real question is that really appropriate when one parent has so much? And I'm saying in this situation, it's the person who has a majority of the time. You know, the current law now allows the courts, or requires that the court, to consider both parents' net income and then fashion whatever that child support obligation is that is determined by the amount of net income. They divide that on a proportional basis to their respective incomes. So they're both, and they both end up paying proportionally, virtually, you know, not the same amount of money, but it's proportional to what they have.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much, Attorney Timothy Daw. And how, can they go to a website, find out more about your practice?
The and our main office is in Chicago, not Wheaton.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Out in Wheaton. That's okay. No issues. And the website is S as in Sam, D as in David, Frank, Law, LAW.com. And there's a website there. Our attorneys are there, and we'll try to assist anyone who is looking for assistance.
Well, fortunately, Tim, I'll never need you.
God bless you, you know. I hope you never do either. We're not somebody that people actually want to talk to. They just have to talk to us.
All right. But if I, excuse me, if I did need you, I'd come straight to you. You sound phenomenal.
And all right, thank you, Perry.
We'll do another update and see how this is working out in another few months. How about that?
Well, there's already a change in the law that's been proposed, but it's going to be very minor. It's just a, we'll see how all this shakes out, how everyone is going to deal with these new concepts.
All right, and so give your telephone number, too.
Our main switchboard in Chicago is area code 312-641-5560, and the main switchboard in Wheaton is area code 630-665-5800. And then finally, the main area switchboard in Lake Forest is 847-615-8300.
Now listen, Tim, I'm going to have to get you back on. I've got a bank full of calls, so maybe in a couple of weeks we can get you back on, because people have a lot to say and a lot of questions about this. So thank you
well,
so much.
Well, the attorneys have a lot of questions about it as well.
All right, then.
All right, you take care.
You too.